Welcome to the Larry Kreider's Leadership Podcast. Larry is the author of over 40 books, the founder of Dove International, a worldwide family of churches and ministries in six continents, and has over 50 years of leadership experience. He and his guests will share inspirational leadership insights from their journey with God. These insights, gleaned from serving leaders in many nations, will transform your life and leadership. For more information on Larry's books and resources, visit LarryKreider.com.
Welcome to the Larry Kreider Leadership Podcast, where we learn these small changes we can make that make a massive difference in our lives. With me in the studio today is Bobby Alger. Bobby, welcome back.
Thanks. Good to be with you again.
I want to talk to you about leadership. I want to talk to you about your book, Living a Changed Life. Let's talk a little bit about leadership. First of all, you're the senior pastor of Crossroads Church in Winchester, Virginia. How long have you been doing that?
Wow. Next year will be 25 years.
Wow.
Cannot believe it.
I remember it's when just, you started. It's amazing what God has done. Mm-hmm. And talk to us about what Crossroads looks like.
Well, Crossroads is, we're part of the Dove Network, and, you know, we have carry those values, but every church has a little different flavor, just like families do. And one of the things that happened to us way back in 2011, we got acquainted with this whole presence-centered transformation.
Yeah.
And where George Otis has kind of documented those things, and we got connected up through Wanda's, she was employed with Intercessors for America, and Intercessors for America linked up. They got a new president in, linked up with George Otis, and we got connected with that whole movement. And it was so, I realized I've always been a presence-centered person. Mm-hmm. And somebody said, you know, why don't you be more prophetic or more pastoral or apostolic or whatever? I just want the presence of God.
Yeah.
And so when that came into being, I'd seen the documentaries earlier in the 90s, and I had no grid to fit him in. Mm-hmm. I really couldn't conceive. I thought it was just random or God just chose. And I didn't realize that we could actually be a part of bringing his presence. Mm. It was just foreign to me and how I thought. Mm. And so we went through, it was called a 21-day divine experiment.
Yeah.
And for 21 days, we met together with four other congregations. So it was five total. It was very simple. We had a few worship songs and a devotional that we went through. And the fast that we're asked to fast was media fast.
Yeah.
And then we met for 21 days, and we just opened up the microphone and let people talk to God. That's how we presented it. And something happened during that time that we've never been the same as a church body. Mm. It was a glorious experience of people getting free and people understanding his love for them and people confessing sins and the grace that was on that time. And our church has never been the same after that. And it's one of the things that people note when they come into us. Wow, the presence of God is here.
Yeah, I've experienced that at Crossroads. It's so, so powerful. I didn't realize, though, that that has such a lasting effect or a powerful effect on your lives and how that all happened. That is amazing. So talk to us about your leadership journey a bit.
Yeah, as I look back, my journey, it actually started, and I didn't learn this till later in life. I mentioned in the earlier podcast, I'm the last of six kids.
Right.
And I have four sisters and one brother. And so dad, he told me this later. He said, I did not want the last kid spoiled. So the way that he compensated for that is he gave me responsibility as an adult when I was a young child.
Interesting.
So we had cattle on our farm, and we were doing registered stock. And and I was responsible for all the papers and making sure that, we were doing artificial insemination. I actually went to school to learn how to do that when I was 12.
Wow.
And so I kept all the registration papers and everything. And it just, that was dad's purpose by design.
That's
to give
amazing.
Me responsibility early. And I think that's kind of inbred a leadership development within me early on in life.
So what are some areas of leadership that you look back that you had that prepared you for what's going on today? You know, today you're a pastor. You were involved in leadership before that, obviously.
I tell people, if you want to be involved in leadership, find a place to serve and be faithful.
Yeah.
And that's really, I look back and I served in the church growing up in a limited way. in college, you know, I served in a local church. But when I came back and got planted in the church that I came out of to plant Crossroads, I just found a place to serve, and really just with young adults. That's what I was, and we just started young adult Bible study on Friday nights, and I just was faithful at it. And you know, the pastor, the team saw gifts and began to, you know, put me in places and training and different things that happened. But it's really, it boils down to find a place to serve and be faithful in it. Yeah. And that's what really spawned you into leadership.
Right. Now, you've obviously been part of teams over the years. You lead a dynamic team today. Mm-hmm. Talk to us a bit about teamwork. How do you build a team? How do you do that?
Wow. That's a really interesting thought. But there's really three things that I look for when I'm looking to build a team. And I really developed these three out of my mistakes. And I don't know where they came from. They could have come from you, Larry, but there's three things that I look for. And first of all, does the person have a heart for God? And when I mean that I don't go to them and ask them how their spiritual life is. They come to me and they're like, I was reading the Bible, or I'm working through that. So it lets me know that they're taking initiative with God on their own. Do they have a heart for God? The second thing is, do they have a heart for me as the leader?
Good.
And I've just found that if you don't have a heart for the senior leader or the person in charge, it'll just break down over time. The enemy will come in and put pressure on things. And he does that anyhow. But when you have a heart for the leader, you'll stay when it gets tough. And the third thing is, do they have a heart for the leader's vision? And when all three of those line up, you have a really dynamic team.
You do.
And you can weather a lot of things. But if one of those three is not in place, then you'll break down. And I've experienced that. I had, you know, I had some people, a couple elders on the eldership team at different times. They had a heart for me. They had a heart for God, but they didn't have a heart for my vision.
Right.
And it broke down over time, and it just didn't work. So those are three that I pay attention to. The other thing is that when I'm bringing a leader on, particularly at an elder level, is how do they handle conflict with me? You know, do they get offended and upset, or do they go, oh, wow, I need to learn through that. Thank you for sharing that. And that's a really key thing.
Huge.
To recognize that you're going to have conflict. You're going to have difference of opinion, so to speak. But it's important that that they recognize you're really in it. You want God to shine and glorify, and you want to stay in unity, but there'll be difference of opinion. And we've just, you know, learned how I've found that I operate a lot through consensus, so I don't really vote. And if we have a difference, I'll either table it. Recently, when we went through COVID, we had we didn't have a split, but we had a couple possible splinters. But I was really proud of the team because a couple of the splinters said, you know what, we're not quite where you're at, but we trust you, and we're going to follow what you said. And that was really humbling to have a team member like that that could have splintered, but yet they wanted to stay in faith with where I was at.
So you've learned a lot, you know, learned a lot of leadership from others who've spoken to your life. You mentioned your father, for example. You know, are there others who've spoken, like other mentors? And do you have you had mentors? A lot of young people ask me about that. You know, the whole area of spiritual fathering and those kind of things.
Right.
Talk about that.
You know, I don't know that I've had named mentors. And maybe I'll get back to why. And I don't know if it's a valid reason, but it's just my reason. But I've had people that have, and books that I've read, have mentored me. You know, individuals, yourself, Ron, have been incredible mentors. I mean, all the team, the Dove, have mentored me at different stages through, whether you knew it or not, whether it was intentional or not, I've been mentored through the Dove movement. Then even beyond that, one and I attended Oral Roberts University, and we got a master's degree there. And, and the pastor, we actually were in a Methodist church, but the pastor there, he had previously been the, he was in charge of the seminary there, and he was an incredible man of God, and he mentored me through different times. And so I go back to high school. I was in Future Farmers of America, and my advisor, he was an incredible man. He just mentored me through time, pulled me up, and saw things in me I didn't see in myself. When I was in college, I was in a in a club, and the advisor there saw things in me that I didn't see and would pull me up. So it's just an interesting journey of how I sought people and then people sought me.
Sure.
And I don't know how it works. It's just God's in the mix.
Well, now you've mentored many, many others. I want to talk to you about your new book, Living a Changed Life, mm-hmm. 7 Transformational Lessons. Why did you write this book, Bobby?
Well, I've always been a one that I want to disciple people. Yeah. I mean, if there's anything that's in my heart, I want to make sure people are discipled and grounded. That's just a part of who I am and what I carry.
Right.
And even though I pastor and lead teams and all that stuff, really, if I wasn't doing what I was doing now, I'd be probably running a house church, just discipling people.
Right.
And I would be so happy and content doing that. And maybe one day, we'll get to that. But I just love to disciple people. And so I have a lot of discipleship books and courses on my shelf that sure. I've read through. Obviously, you have the 12 foundational mm-hmm. lessons, which we've done.
Sure.
You know, we promote. We've had 40 people go through the Dove School from our congregation.
That's amazing.
Talking about leadership, that has been one unifying factor in our church. We've graduated 40 students.
That's
some of those
amazing.
Are going, but that's been unifying. And we still say you need to go through that school.
So we find a lot of pastors today are using that. Of course, it's an online school, and then they're meeting every month with the students who are going through. I don't know if you've done it that way or not, but I hear the same report from many that has unified them and brought them the people together in their church, so they can have with one vision move ahead.
Absolutely,
yeah,
totally endorse it.
Yeah.
Amazing school.
Yeah.
But getting back to the book,
one
of the things that I realized that sometimes material again can be too theological. Mm-hmm. Or it feels like it's shallow.
Yeah.
And I wanted something in between.
Right.
I wanted to connect with people that didn't know much about the Bible,
right?
But also those that
That's
did
great.
Would be able to deepen. And so I came across, I think you probably recommended T for T, Training for Trainers.
I may have, yeah. I've recommended that to many people, yeah.
And I read that book, and it was the thing that was... First of all, it was overwhelming because it's very extensive and very intense. It comes out of a Chinese model and things. But the thing that I took away from that was obedience-based growth instead of information-based growth.
That's good.
And so really, when I came to write this book, it's all out of obedience-based rather than information-based.
Mm, I like that. Explain to me on the cover of this book, again, in the podcast, people can't see the cover. You have a tree, and the right side of the tree is foliage, the whole deal. Left side of the tree is only branches. Explain that.
Well, really, if you really dig into Scripture about what happens to us when we're born again, it actually gives that kind of a stark contrast.
Mm.
It says you were darkness, and now you're light.
Beautiful.
You were sinner, now you're saint.
Yeah.
In fact, I think in the first chapter, I compare 6 different of what we were and what we are now. And so I don't think that we think about that in the church world of people becoming, we see the gradual, but Scripture really talks about a stark contrast.
Exactly.
And so that's kind of what that tree represents.
Well, let's talk about these 7 life lessons. I'm going to ask you about each of these lessons and fill us in. Lesson number one, born again.
Yeah, being born again. The whole purpose of writing that was really to take people beyond raising hand or saying a prayer.
Good.
And really saying, what's happened?
Mm.
What does the Scripture say? And each one of those points that I talk about that are common, you know, what happened when I invite Jesus in? And what happens after I'm born again and I sin? You know, what's next? I mean, I try to take questions that people maybe they think about, but they're not asking, and try to answer it for them. And I walk into, you know, kind of a very practical, theological, yet a very relatable understanding of what it means to be born again.
And then the practical step they could take is prepare to be baptized in water.
Exactly.
That's fantastic.
After each lesson, I want to do a practical step.
This is really
step.
Good.
Now, the way that I outlined the 7 chapters, I don't know if you've picked that up, was how we come into this world and grow naturally.
Right.
And I think there were elements that your book on what does it mean to be a real Christian had a few of those elements. Mm-hmm. And then T for T had a few of those elements. Mm-hmm. But I kind of brought them into a full progression.
So good.
That I, you know, saw in both, but brought him into a full progression. So just like a natural child is born,
right,
we need to be born again.
Exactly.
And that's the whole,
yeah,
you know, focus of the first lesson.
Talk to us about number two, breathing.
Okay, breathing is just like a child. The first thing they do after they're born, they breathe. And they start breathing on their own. And so that's prayer. And I talk about prayer from the, you know, very simple components mm-hmm. of talking and listening. And so even good. Ask the question starting out, are you more of a talker? Are you more of a listener? And people usually identify that way. And then I go into prayer. But there's a talking part and there's a listening part. And I think that's really important. There's one part in that one, in the prayer part about the will of God that I think is so helpful for people. I give three levels, the commanded, the permitted will of God, and then the revealed will mm-hmm. of God. And I think people are just more in touch with the commanded will of God.
Right.
But there's also a permitted will of God. Like, for instance, in the Old Testament, God didn't want the people to have a king. That wasn't his purpose, but right. he permitted that.
That's correct.
Even divorce. Mm-hmm. That was not his purpose.
Right.
But it says Moses permitted mm-hmm. that. And so sometimes we want things that we want, and God says, okay, I'll give that to you. There'll be some baggage along with it.
Right.
You have to figure that out, but I'm going to give that to you. And then the revealed will of God is when we just trust him to walk into situations, and we don't really know the direction. Mm. It's not real clear. But we choose by faith to believe that he'll show us as we walk into it, like going into the Red Sea.
Right.
And going across the Jordan River. They had to walk into it. Mm-hmm. And then the water, you know, receded or got less. And so I think it's training people early on that God's will isn't that clear cut, but right. it's three different levels.
And a practical step is receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Exactly.
I love it.
Yeah.
Number three, eating. Talk to us.
Okay, eating. That's what happens to a child. They're born, they breathe, and they eat. And the Lord gave me this analogy of just like we set a table. You have the appetizer, you have the main course, you have dessert, and you have drink. And so to set up, really it's about Bible reading, getting in and establishing our daily time with God. And so the appetizer is, again, thanksgiving and praise, welcoming his presence.
Yep.
The main course is whatever you're reading, you know, whether you're reading the Bible or reading a book or reading, you know, the input. The dessert is really getting clear direction out of that time. That's really what dessert. It's a sweet savor.
That's
the dessert, and then the drink is the Holy Spirit that mixes all together and helps digest.
Love it. And the practical step: setting a time and a place and a plan.
Yeah, for time, place,
getting in the Word of God.
Yeah,
powerful. Number four: exercising.
Okay, exercising. This equates to obedience, and interesting. I don't know that I've found any discipleship material that specifically talks about obedience. Now, I'm sure there are,
right.
but wasn't
sure.
common. This was kind of a surprise that I kind of you know, fell into. But yet, as I talked about the development of a child, they're going to exercise. And in this section, a couple of things that I talk about in that will keep us from obeying is external distractions and internal offenses.
Mm.
And so talk about the whole, you know, all of the things that we deal with today in technology, it really can be a distraction. And then the internal offenses, and categorize those in three ways, the first hand, the second hand, and then you can have a corporate offense,
mm-hmm.
which is against the whole organization.
That's true.
Very complex. People just mad at that church.
Right.
You know, not any one individual, but that hospital or that that business. And,
true.
And, you know, just walk ways of healing.
I love your
friend. Yeah, then the other aspect in that chapter is about a heart shift.
Okay.
That there it is to recognize a heart shift. Kind of like a satellite dish, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's pointed towards the beam, and if you shifted that thing away from the beam, the signal wouldn't be as strong and the picture would be fuzzy.
Right.
But you have to shift back, and our hearts can do that.
And your practical steps, schedule a time of prayer to get free of past hurts.
Exactly.
That's so good. Number five is family.
Yeah, family. That's all about the local church.
Yeah.
You know, seeing the local church as our family and really just practical ways. Jesus is the head, and obviously he provides leadership and for encouragement and growth, and just for them to recognize that's so needed in their life. Just like a natural family is so needed for a healthy child to grow up, the same thing in spiritual is that we need to have a natural family around us. And
you pack so much in this little book. This is really, really
well.
Good.
That's my second edition. Actually, I did one before that, and then I knew I had to add some things and switch some things around.
And your practical step: explore connecting with the local church.
Absolutely,
and it's so important. Number six is father.
Right. This came out of the I think the T4T is just really recognizing that people have a skewed understanding of God the Father that could relate to their natural father and may not. I had a good father, and yet I had some skews about the Heavenly Father.
Sure.
And just these traits here, he loves us, he protects us, he provides for us, he disciplines us, to recognize discipline's a part of being a good father. And I taught this recently, and one of the things I did was to bring people up and speak over people just like what God the Father spoke over Jesus with an audible voice. You're my child, whom I love, with you I'm well pleased. And I just brought people up front and just spoke that into them as a representative of God the Father. It's very powerful.
That's very powerful.
Very powerful. Yeah.
Practical step: accept the goodness of the Father. Love it. Love it. Yeah. Number seven, expanding.
Yes, expanding the kingdom. I mean, every family is expected to have kids and grow, and not everybody has kids and things, but yet you expect there to be expansion of the family.
Right.
And so really, this chapter is all about taking John 3:16, which is a very common verse, and using that to really explain the gospel. And in that verse, there's two things that you have to know and two things you have to do. Two things to know is God loves you. Mm-hmm. And you didn't decide that for yourself. He didn't ask you. And then he gave you a gift, and that gift was his son, that we could be forgiven and set free and enter into the Father fully. And then there's two things we have to do. We have to believe, and we have to receive. And that's our job.
Good.
And just figuring out what's our part and God's part. So, he is a part, and if we get that mixed up, it just goes wrong.
Yeah.
If it doesn't, then we get set free.
It's so simplistic, Bobby, but so powerful. It's so, so good.
Thank you.
Your practical step: you prepare your testimony and plan of salvation. It's great. Now, you got a bonus one.
Yeah.
Right? The journey beyond. Talk to us about that.
Well, I wanted to just go a little deeper and help people to, as they read the Bible, get more out of it. And it's called a SOS method. And again, this came out of T4T, but the SOS is, what is the scripture saying?
Mm-hmm.
The O is, what do I need to obey? And then S is, what do I need to share?
Yeah.
Because it's actually, I don't know if I heard you or maybe Ron say that when you actually share with people, it actually deepens in your own life.
It does.
And you actually learn.
True.
And so that's so true that we do need to share and then just give people some simple parameters as far as context of the scripture and what do I need to obey. Obviously, some things are literal, some things are figurative, and you got to figure that out and walk through.
You're a true pastor. I love the way that you break this down. It's so simple. Practical application: growing through daily Bible reading, prayer, and obedience. Mm-hmm. That's so right. I always want to recommend this book to anyone who's listening today on our podcast, Living a Changed Life, 7 Transformational Lessons, Bobby Alger. Get that on Amazon or wherever you buy books.
And that's right.
Yeah, this is just fantastic. I mean, this is only like 70-some pages, and it's just packed full of. That's why I love it. Simplicity, it is packed full of truth. Yeah, it's awesome.
And it is meant to be journeyed through with a mentor.
I
mean, I state that up front, that the best part. We went
love
through
it.
A small group in our church recently, and I did some videos as well
to
help small groups. So they're on our website. If people want to go to Crossroads Winchester, Crossroads Community Church, Winchester, Virginia, there's actually videos that if they want to, have some aids to kind of steer
it
through. I have discussion questions.
Any last minute words of wisdom for any younger leaders or listening to the podcast today saying, wow, what else can I learn from Bobby Alger? What would it be?
Well, I just be faithful where you're at. It's so tempting today. I think young leaders have so much information available to them.
Yeah.
And I think that we can tip towards seeking the information rather than seeking God and Holy Spirit.
That's good.
And I obviously you and I lived through before the internet. And we had books, yes. And you know, we had to get resources where we could. But Google just brings it all to
it
us,
sure
and
does.
I take advantage of that. But I really would caution young leaders to make sure that you're staying in tune with God and not the technology. Mm. And it's not that I love technology,
sure,
to a limit. There's some things I will do, and there's some things I won't. But
Right.
just realize that God has all the answers, and keep seeking Him. Not that you throw away technology, but yeah.
Yeah, Bobby, you and Wanda have been a great blessing to me, to my wife Laverne, for many, many years, and you've been so faithful. And it's just so good to see how God is using you, not just in your local church, but these kinds of resources can help people all over the world. Mm-hmm. And I'm just so grateful for your lives, and so blessed to walk with you. And so check out the show notes, everyone. You can get a hold of all of these great resources that Bobby and Wanda are talking about. And it was just so good to have you on the podcast today. Thank you.
It's good to be here.
Yeah. So thank you, everyone, for joining us today for the Larry Carter Leadership Podcast. We learn these small things, small changes we can make a massive difference in our lives. God bless you. And look forward to seeing you back next week.
Thank you for listening to Larry Crider's Leadership Podcast. If you want more information about any of Larry's books, daily devotionals, small group resources, or any other teachings, go to LarryCrider.com.